I'm so grateful that our God is alive and he is well. He is alive and he remains in control. He is alive and he is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And I'm glad that I can look up to him and call upon him as our heavenly Father. It's so good that God has blessed each of us to be here this morning. And it is good to see you here this morning. And I notice that we have a special guest in the house, and we are especially grateful to have him with us this morning. I take great pleasure in introducing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is our very special guest, but we have some other guests in the audience today. One of them led us in our prayer, Brother Roy Williams from the New Iberia congregation down in Louisiana. And I want to express my appreciation to him for leading us this morning in a thoughtful and meaningful prayer. Brother Williams wanted to come and visit us along with probably several other congregations in the Nashville area. Hart Street was instrumental some years ago in supporting the work in New Iberia. And he just wanted to come and visit with us. I believe he's going to contact and visit with some of the other congregations that were instrumental in supporting the work down there in Louisiana. We're honored to have you with us, Brother Roy Williams. Always good to welcome visitors and friends to the Hart Street congregation. I am thankful to Brother Eric Proud, directing our singing this morning. He seems to have eaten his Wheaties this morning. You did a very fine job, sir. And we appreciate the congregation blending their voices together with him in singing these songs of praise to God, our Heavenly Father. Always good to have the Love family with us. They are visiting with us, and it is a delight to welcome them home. See, this is home, this was home, this will always be home right here. And both of them are bowing their heads in agreement and acquiescence, and that's a very good thing. It's always good to see them. I am also thankful to Brother Robert. Brother Robert has made tremendous progress. He's a new brother in Christ. But he digs right in and he gets right in. But maybe when I say he digs right in, I'm referring to his Bible study. He takes Bible study seriously. And he comes up with answers, too, to the questions that are asked. And we are grateful for Robert and his wife, Erica, and for their two delightful and rambunctious boys. Yeah, we are delighted to have them a part of the Hart Street family. But Robert is making admirable progress in his spiritual growth and development. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. This is a familiar passage, but we're going to revisit it today. This passage is based upon the Word of God. It comes from the pages of the Bible. We cannot overestimate the power, the potency of the Word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Peter affirms that God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3. The previous passage was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We need to always have the most complete commitment to and love for and respect for the Word of God. The Bible is not the book of the month or the book of the year. It is the book of the ages. It is unlike any other book. For we read other books, but this book, the Bible, reads us. And no other book has had as much opposition as the Bible. People have laughed at it, scorned it, ridiculed it, made laws against it, and even burned it. Yet its power remains undiminished. It has outlived, outlifted, outloved, outreached, outranked, and outblessed all other books put together. It is the living, breathing Word of God. I love it, and I respect it. I commend to you the Bible, the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The Bible is the Word of God. I think we have so many Bibles that we own or that we possess that we tend to take the Bible for granted. Many of us have four or five Bibles in our homes, on our nightstands, on our coffee tables, in our cars, in our purses, Bibles in our hands, and sometimes Bibles in our heads. But we need more of the Bible in our hearts, lived out in our lives. The Bible can make a tremendous difference in our lives if we will read it, if we will study it, if we will hide it in our hearts, if we will comply with its demands, if we will make it a part of our lives each and every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, every day of every week, if we'll allow it to be our guide. We called attention just a moment ago to that familiar passage, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is the passage on which our lesson is based this morning. It's a simple lesson. It's a foundational lesson. It's a fundamental lesson. It is a needed lesson based upon the Word of God. And I want to just entitle this lesson specifically, The Frog Formula. The Frog formula. And you already know what FROG stands for. I attended the funeral service of Glenn Young on yesterday, along with a number of other Hart Street members. I didn't realize, Drexel, that his nickname was King Frog. I don't know exactly how he acquired that name, but he was known affectionately as Frog. I sat back and I listened. His son did the eulogy, and the young man did a very fine job, an impressive job with the eulogy. And I wanted to get a chance to let him know, but did not get that chance. Maybe sometime in the future, I'll be able to express to him what a fine job he did as a means of encouraging him. But the FROG formula is expressed in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That is, demonstrate full confidence. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That represents a faulty concept. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That is expressive of faithful compliance. And he shall direct thy paths. That indicates to me a fixed course. Kayla Love is a great track star. She's a great runner. She follows a fixed course in the races that she runs. A laid out course, a predetermined course. And the Lord does that for us. He fixes the course in life that he wants us to run the Christian race on. But in order to run the Christian race successfully, we must have full confidence in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't want partial trust. Don't want a little trust. Don't want incomplete trust, but full confidence, full trust. To what degree do you trust in God? Don't rely on the faulty concept found in your own understanding. You have the Lord and his word over here. You have your own understanding over here. Reject your own understanding, accept and embrace the word of God and God as your guide. Many times we will substitute our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own concepts, and replace the word of God with them. I know the Bible says, but we don't have to And we definitely should refrain from parading the Word of God before the judgment bar of our minds. Just take God at His Word and accept His Word, respect His Word, and obey His Word. And exemplify faithful compliance in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him in everything that we do, in every place that we go, in every relationship that we sustain. We should be willing to acknowledge God each and every day by the way we live our lives in accord with the Word of God. If we will exemplify faithful compliance, then God will help us follow a fixed course of righteousness that will lead us to ultimate victory. Amen. And success. Mm-hmm. Brother Jones, where is the frog formula? Well, we've just read about it. We just read about it. But frog simply means fully rely on God. That's it. Fully rely on God. Take Him at His word. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. I love, Brother Darwin, the commitment that they made to Joshua. Would be to God that each of us can and will make that same commitment and make it fresh, make it new every morning. Joshua said, now y'all have y'all's possession over on this side of the Jordan on the east side. We are fixing to go to the west side, and we need you to go with us. We need you to help us. We need you to fight alongside us. We need you to fight with us. We need you to fight for us. If before you can enjoy your inheritance, you have to go and help your brethren secure theirs. Then you can go back and enjoy yours. And listen to the admirable spirit of commitment they exemplified. That's Joshua 1:16. And they answered Joshua saying, all, not some, not part, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Isn't that wonderful? Here am I, O Master, here am I, send me. I could say, Lord, here am I, send Roy. Or here am I, send Drexel. Here am I, send Darwin. But here am I, send me on a personal level. I like that spirit. Would to God that that same spirit would animate all of the followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I see this spirit exemplified similarly in John 2 and verse number 5, when the wine ran out at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. His mother said something to the servants that sticks in my mind. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That was the mama of Jesus talking. She said, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Whatever directions he gives, obey them. Peter and his compatriots had been fishing all night long. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, now when he had left speaking, this is Christ, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But Peter's confidence in the Lord was so great that it overrode their sense of failure, because although they had fished all night, they were without any fish. Didn't catch a single one. Didn't even catch many. It's the Lord, we have fished all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, and this is the part I like, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Just take the Lord at his word. He'll follow through. He will bless your obedience. And when they had done this in compliance with the command of the Lord, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. The net was not strong enough or capacious enough to accommodate the great haul of fish they brought in, because Peter was obedient. Peter, although he was faulty, he was frail, he was rocky, that is, unsteady, he was unpredictable, he was impetuous, but yet Peter had a great deal of confidence in God and in the Word of God. Remember when they were out on the Sea of Galilee in the storm, and Jesus came walking on the bosom of the sea, and Peter said to him, in a desire for him to verify his authenticity, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. Peter had such faith, he had such confidence at that point. Jesus said, simply come. Peter stepped out of the boat, placed his foot and his feet on the bosom of the sea and began to stroll across the water. That took faith. That took confidence. And for a moment there, he exemplified the frog principle. He fully relied on God. And that's what we have to do. Jesus exemplified that same spirit. He fully relied on God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, as he prayed, Gethsemane. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Drexel. Yes, sir. But Jesus prayed with great solemnity, great seriousness. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He followed the frog formula there, fully relying upon God. I commend that formula to you, to me, to us, to dissolve your doubts, fully rely on God. To put your fears to flight, fully rely on God. To overcome your weaknesses, fully rely on God. To properly process your grief, fully rely on God. To defeat bitterness and malice, fully rely on God. To enjoy the peace of which James Waller frequently speaks that passes all understanding, fully rely on God. To exercise the power of forgiveness, fully rely on God. To deflate pride, fully rely on God. To overcome discouragement, fully rely on God. To rise above depression, fully rely on God. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, fully rely on God. To maximize your potential, fully rely on God. To have the good success that Joshua was promised, fully rely on God. To conquer complacency and apathy, fully rely on God. To sweeten your marriage and to enrich your relationships, fully rely on God. I commend to you the frog formula. If you're here and you have not surrendered your life to the Master, if you are outside the ark of safety, if you are currently in a dangerous situation and predicament, don't remain in that unenviable position. Take whatever necessary remedial measures that need to be taken in order to bring your life in compliance with the will of God. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you are not a part of God's family, you can become a part, and you need to become a part. And you can do that by simply hearing the glorious good news of the gospel, how Jesus loved each of us enough, so much that he died on the cross of Calvary. Died for my sins and for yours. He shed his precious blood for us. When he hung his head and died, his body was taken from by beneficent hands from the cross and placed in that borrowed tomb of the rich man Joseph of Arimathea. But he didn't stay there. Early on Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave and walked away. A conquering king, later affirming all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. After 40 days, he ascended back to his father, having made the proper provisions for our salvation. That's the gospel of salvation. Paul says it will save if you'll keep it in memory unless you've believed in vain. But it won't just automatically save you. You have to obey it. Jesus, in fully relying on God, obeyed. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Will you obey him today? I trust that you will. Trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus. There's no other way to get in Jesus prerequisitely other than through trusting and obeying. You've heard the good news. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, and then submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and you can arise from that liquid tomb, from that watery grave, from that spiritual womb to walk in newness of life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can become new today. But if you're here and you've already obeyed the gospel, you've already been made a part of the body, you're already a Christian, but you have faltered, failed, and fallen. And you now are in the unenviable state, having the status of being in error, being in sin. You don't have to remain there. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be restored. If you're here facing serious challenges of whatever kind, the Lord is ready, the Lord is willing, and the Lord is able to take care of whatever problems, whatever issues you might be confronted by, and that you might be enmeshed in currently. The decision is yours. My question is, can you fully rely on God to help, to heal, to forgive? Will you come as we together stand and as we sing? All things